discuss a lesson here, pointing out that God's most natural, God's most dominant, God's most constant and pleasurable disposition and inclination are these qualities of love, grace, mercy, compassion, faithfulness, and forgiveness. That is, if you ever wonder, what are the dominant inclination in God towards man? And when you read the Bible, that is from Old to New Testament, we are going to see that his most dominant, constant, pleasurable disposition will be his love towards us, his compassion towards us, his mercy towards us, his grace towards us, his faithfulness towards us, and his forgiveness towards us. Now, it was from this most natural inclination of God that the Almighty God sent Ezekiel with a message to Israel, accenting or highlighting these qualities. The passage, I think that's the passage that was read this morning, taken from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33 and verse 10 and 11. Let us hear those two verses again.
Therefore, O thou son of man,
O you Ezekiel, that's to whom the reference is made. You son of man,
speak unto the house of Israel.
Speak unto the house of Israel.
Thus ye speak.
This is what you will tell them.
Saying,
mm-hmm.
If our,
referring to the Israelite sin, our transgression, if our transgression be
Upon us, and we pine away in them.
And if we pine away in them, we perish in our transgression.
How should we then live?
How are we going to live? That is, life with God and sinfulness are incompatible. God is saying to the Israelite, you cannot live in sin and live with me. Read on.
Say unto them.
As I live.
Saith the Lord God. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked.
You know, last week Saturday, this was the lesson that I share. There were two dominant passage in the sermon at Brother Barry Garden's funeral in Oracabessa. I've been fascinated over these two passages. Great funeral it was, in that Brother Garden was such a great servant of God. And, you know, it's just so unfortunate that, I don't know if unfortunate is the right word, that we go through this life and we encounter different things, including sickness. But the two passages, this was one, and the one in Psalms, this one says, Ezekiel should tell the Israelite that I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I've always found that, you know, Sartre, it's contrary to our inclination and our emotion, because, you know, the Bible tells us that God suffers long with us. Eh? God suffers, yes, our sins, our wrongdoing. And the person who does most of that are the men and women who don't even care that they sin against God. And that's the people that God says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Yet now, when you turn the other side, the one in Psalms, the Almighty God says that he welcomed the death of the righteous. Of course, those two passages were the two main lesson, passage in my lesson at the funeral. But, you know, the Almighty God sent Ezekiel. Let me hear that verse again, brother.
I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked.
Wait, this is talk about God's mercy. Shouldn't God be glad when the wicked and godly men is taken out? God says, no, I don't like that. What a loving. Read a little more.
But that the wicked turn from his way and live.
This is what God wants Ezekiel to preach. Of course, this was to be brought to the Israelite against the background of despair, hopelessness that the Israelites at this time were going through. God wants them to understand him better. But even before I go further in the lesson, a lesson that I referred to that I shared here many years ago, where I brought up the wise woman of Tekoa. Great lesson in that too. And while we're not going to be looking, preaching on that woman, but this quality of God, mercy, love, compassion, forgiveness, those are the most natural inclination that God has towards humanity. And that includes you and me. Follow me now. I haven't given you the other side of that. But just to show you, in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 14, and verse 12 following, let us hear it.
Then the woman said, let thine handmaid.
Wait. Back up. It was a situation where Absalom killed Amnon, his brother, his half-brother. You know why? Because Amnon had abused his own sister sexually. Are we all there? And it hurt Absalom so much that he planned a feast and set his men up to kill his half-brother. David heard of it. David was king. They were both his sons. And when he heard that Absalom killed his brother, now the sin was a terrible sin. Then David banished Absalom from ever coming to the palace to see him, his father David. But Joab, David's warlord, and Absalom were good friends. And Joab wanted Absalom to be back in grace with his father David. He wanted David to welcome Absalom back in spite of the heinous sin that Absalom committed. So Joab thought, how can I accomplish this impossible task? And he remembered this wise woman. You know, we who grow up in the country, about 2 weeks ago, a guy at Manor Park was selling me a pier. Well, I want a pier to buy, and he was telling me about the pier. I had to tell him, I say, I grew up in country, man, I know about pier. I say, when the pier shake, it mean it fit. When it no shake, it no fit. That's right. So, Joab thought of this wise old lady, the woman of Tekoa, that can get the job done, and he set up the lady. Tell her to go to David. All that it was about is for the woman to go and appeal to David's mercy without knowing that it was Absalom, it was Joab who sent her. Let us get a little of it, brother. Let us, you are at chapter 14, verse 12, following. Quick.
Then the woman said, let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak one word unto my lord the king.
The woman is before David. She's pretending that she has been mourning about her son. But all that was falsehood. It's a drop set her up. It was about Absalom, David's son who was banished. But wait. Where we are going, you know, is to show how the woman going to indirectly appeal to God's compassion and mercy. And in effect, pointing out to David that since he's a king and he represents God, he should show some compassion and mercy. Read, brother.
And he said, say on.
And David said to the woman of Tekoa, say on.
And the woman said,
Wherefore?
Then hast thou thought such a thing against the people of God? For the king doth speak this thing as one which is faulty, in that the king doth not fetch home again his banished.
The king, how can you do this against Israel? Because what the woman is thinking about, Absalom most likely would succeed David. How can you banish him? What he has just said, dear brother, about the banish? You have not fetched home.
Again, he's banished.
Against the banish. This was
for
how David had banished Absalom from seeing him ever. Read.
For we must needs die.
For we are going to all die.
And are as water spilt on the ground.
Uh-huh.
Which cannot be gathered up again.
The same way you see water throw away on the ground and the ground sop it up. You cannot get back that water. That's the way our life is. That's what she's reasoning with David. That we are going to die. Read, brother.
Neither doth God respect any person.
God, watch here now. God has no respect for any man. That is based on the type of respect we show to one another, based on whether they have a lot of money, they hold big position and all of that. God does not show that type of respect. Read on.
Yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him.
You get the lesson there. The Almighty God devised means that those who are banished from him have a way to come back to God. Here the woman is appealing. Read that. They didn't get it, brother. Read that little part again.
Yet doth he devise means.
Yet he devise means. Who? God.
That his banished be not expelled.
That his banished, those that God banished from himself because of their sin,
be not expelled from him.
The Almighty God still leave an opening or make provision for them to come back. All this is about David. You should make a way for your son Absalom to come back to you. So what the woman is appealing to is this natural tendency in God to show mercy, compassion, forgiveness. Of course, the rest of the, I wish we have time to look on. You know, when the woman speaks and then show that, well, from here on, that David, I'm talking to you. I'm really, you are my king, but I'm it's you I'm talking about. David says, now tell me the truth. And woman, you're going to tell me the truth. Is not all that you are doing come from Joab? And the woman says, yes. You see, she thought she could work brain on David. But David knew that somebody set her up. But the job was done and well done. Using the mercy, the grace, the love of the Almighty God to appeal to David to make some sort of arrangement that his son Absalom could come back. May I, while shaking hand at the door many years ago, in the lesson that was preached that Sunday morning, the lessons surround the passage of Exodus chapter 34 and verse 7. Let us hear it. Let us hear it. And some of these passages that I have just mentioned, like 2 Samuel, was brought up in that lesson. But let us hear Exodus 34, verse 7.
Keeping mercy
mm-hmm.
for thousands.
May I? What you and I are reading in Exodus 34 came about from Moses asking God, our request from God, an additional revelation of God's self. Moses had been dealing with God for some while, but he felt that he didn't know God, he didn't understand God, and he asked God to show him himself, his glory, his characteristic. Chapter 34 of Exodus is part of God revealing himself to Moses. Read it.
Forgiving iniquity. And transgression. And that will by no means clear the guilty.
And that God will by no means clear the guilty.
Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children. And upon the children's children.
And upon the children's children.
Unto the third. And to the fourth.
Unto the fourth generation. Wait. So this had come up. This passage had come up in the lesson. This was many years ago. So as I shook hand at the door, a person asked, Brother Mitchell, this passage where God visit the iniquity or the sin upon the children and the third and fourth generation, what is that about? May I? In studying the text where God speaks of visiting the iniquity, iniquity, of course, is sin, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the third and fourth generation, in studying the passage, a most revealing, enlightening, interesting truth about the Almighty God is seen. Get this. The Almighty God wants humanity to have a balanced view of Him. Very important that we as Christians get that. The Almighty God does not want man to have a one-sided concept of God. We have humanity. We have always swung to one of these views that leave us ignorant of God. Are we all there? But God wants humanity to have a proper knowledge and concept of Him. Throughout history up until this day, and especially now, there has been a one-sided, false concept of God. And that concept that a lot of people have of God is a wishful thinking concept. That we wish that God is like that. Okay. Men and women wish that there is no place that is really a place with fire. That's right. Many denominations, Charles Tess Russell, one of the founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses denomination, he grew up as a Congregationalist, where from childhood it was the fire of hell and damnation that he was exposed to. By the time he grew up and decided to be founder of his own church, known today as the Jehovah of the Watchtower, he takes hell out of God's plan, or rather take the fire out of hell. Now, you and I must remember that if God not take it out, you can't take it out. That's right. So this is how Charles Tess Russell end up that the Jehovah's Witness claim that man doesn't have a soul and man will not be burned in hell, when the Almighty God says the contrary. But this is how it works. Same way is the Church of God International today. Same thing. They said that burning in hell is incompatible with God's nature. Which God are you talking about? You see, these are people who have a one-sided concept of God. You see, that's what I'm saying. It's a common thing. It's in many denominations today. They find it convenient to neglect and deny a certain part of God, and that is the holiness of God. May I just drop this along, God's holiness is the regulating attribute of his nature. Wait. Not his love. I talk about that which regulates what God does. While God's love and mercy and grace, they're all dominant inclination. But it is God's holiness that regulates all of these. when in the book of Leviticus chapter 10, when after the Almighty God burned up Nadab and Abihu, killed them because they made a mistake in worship. Are we all there? And God, in that passage, you have it? None of you have it? Leviticus chapter 10, verse 2 and 3, I think. Verse 3 and 4, let us hear it. Mm-hmm.
And there went out fire. From the Lord.
From the Lord.
And devoured them.
And killed them. The word devour means God killed them.
And they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron.
Now why did Moses address Aaron? Because the two priests who just got killed were Aaron's sons. That's right. So Moses, knowing that he was the father of the two deceased, killed instantly by God. Moses said what, brother?
This is it. That the Lord speak.
When God said to us,
saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me.
I will be sanctified apart in them that come nigh me. That's the word that is used there for set apart. It's the word holiness. That passage is saying God said it then and he's saying it now. You cannot, because I am holy. Brother Mitchell, what does that imply? It implies that the Almighty God is separate, above, beyond all of his creature and his creation. God is highly exalted. He's different from we are in his purity, in his holiness. And that's where I will be set apart. Wait. I will be sanctified. That's the word holiness, or holy. That is, when anyone approach me, you will not just do it as you want, as you like, as you feel. Are we getting it, brothers and sisters? You will treat me as one holy and above. This is why we must be reverent in worship. That's right. But when God, this is the God's holiness. God's holiness regulates his love. God's holiness regulates his mercy. God's holiness regulates his grace. God's holiness regulates his forgiveness. Wait, what do you mean, Brother Mitchell? The Almighty God cannot just forgive like that. It has to be done in keeping with God's holiness. That's why God has condition. When we tell you that these conditions for salvation, you must believe, you must repent, you must confess Christ. Those were not set by God just impulsively or randomly. They are in keeping with the holy nature of God. And we must ever be mindful that it is not God's love that regulates all his attributes, but his holiness. That is a pure, sinless, separate from humanity and all that the God that he is. And when he killed Nadab and Abihu, Moses had to remind his brother that when God spoke to us, this is what he had in mind, that in approaching God, you cannot just do it the way you like. You must show some, yes, you know, country people would say, have some manners. That's right. So when God killed Nadab, he was saying, when you come in my presence, you must have some manners. Treat God as God. Are we all there? Brothers and sisters, the revealing, enlightening, interesting scene is this. May I? Every time God set forth and declared to Israel his most natural, his most dominant, his most pleasurable disposition of mercy, grace, compassion, and forgiveness, every time God set forth those qualities, the Almighty God balanced it with the fact that he's also a just God. Every time. You see, we are going to look on a few examples if time permits. I mean every time. Brother Mitchell, I didn't get it. Okay, thank you for telling me. That what we'll find revealing, what we'll find enlightening, what we'll find interesting, is this, that every time God set forth or declared to Israel under the Old Testament system his most natural, dominant, pleasurable disposition of mercy, grace, compassion, and forgiveness, every time he shows or speaks about those qualities, the Almighty God never forget to show to that he is a just God. And we must remember that. You see, men and women today, you see, because of our sinful inclination, we would wish that God is just pure love. There's nothing else about him. Cannot punish, cannot take a strong stand. The only thing him can do, it's like my grandmother had four children. The first three, including my mother was the second one, were girls. And then the last one that, you know, country people talk about, Wash Belly, was a son, a boy. Oh my God, in pile. My father always give joke that when time come for my uncle to go to school, and he would go to his mother, that is my grandmother, and say, me no want to go to school today. My grandmother always say, Pa, you no want to go to school today. Many people would like God to be like that. You see, that's why you see, when you tell men and women that there is a hell, and hell stands for the justice of God. There is some denomination out there if you tell people, say, no, there is no hell. But what I'm saying here, every time. Well, let us look at a few passages, you know, to show that God never forget to show men and women about his justice. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 to verse 6. Let us hear it. Not sure if I'll be able to do much comment on these because time is running out on us. Let us hear. I'm going to share with you about three or four passages. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 through 6. This is the occasion of the Ten Commandments being given. Let us hear it.
Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy.
Watch here now. You see? Here is his natural, beneficial, gracious, merciful inclination, showing
mercy unto thousands of them, that love me, and keep my commandments.
But notice, God had first shown that those who go against his will, what he will do. What is the point, Brother Mitchell? The Almighty God never give man a one-sided view of himself. That is one passage. Look, you had read verse 6. Yes, let us now turn to chapter 34, same Exodus, verse 6 and 7. That was read earlier. Read it again.
And the Lord passed by before him. And proclaimed.
Wait, remember, as we have said previously, this grew out of what is found in chapter 33 when Moses asked God to show him, Moses, his holiness. That is, he wanted to know God more. He wanted to know more of God's characteristic. The Almighty God is doing some of that here in chapter 34, verse 6 and 7. Read, brother.
The Lord God, merciful and gracious.
The Lord God is merciful. He is gracious.
Long-suffering.
He suffers long with us.
And abundant in goodness.
He is His goodness is abundant.
And truth. Keeping mercy for thousands.
God keeps mercy for thousands.
Forgiving iniquity.
God forgives iniquity.
And transgression.
He forgives transgression.
And sin.
And he forgives sin.
And that will by no means.
But when you think about these pleasurable, merciful, gracious, compassionate, forgiveness, all these qualities, when you think about them, don't go away with the wrong view of God. God is all of that, but he is also what, brother, read now?
Clear the guilty.
He will not.
Visiting.
Wait. Read it, brother. He will be by no means.
Clear the guilty.
The guilty. Wait. What this is? He has just presented. These inclination, disposition, or attribute that We are thankful that God is a merciful God. We are thankful that God is a forgiving God. We are thankful that God is a gracious God. Yes, because had he not been that, you and I wouldn't be here now. We would have been wiped out by God's justice and holiness. But the Almighty God don't ever want us to walk away with the wrong idea, like so many man-made churches today want you to believe God is all love and God can never send anybody to hell. The Almighty God in the passage, Brother, is at verse 7, saying, God will be by no means clear the guilty. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? When you are guilty before God, you will have to meet God's condition. Look at another passage, Numbers chapter 14. I believe this. Well, Numbers 14, 18 through 20. Quick, brother, time.
The Lord is long-suffering.
The Lord is long-suffering.
And of great mercy.
And he's not just of mercy, he's of great mercy. When it says long-suffering, that is self-explanatory. It means God suffers long with us. And his mercy is great. Read.
Forgiving iniquity.
He forgives iniquity.
And transgression.
He forgives transgression.
And by no means clearing the guilty.
Here again is the same thing. Brother Mitchell, we had just read that a while ago, but it's a different book. This was in the book of Numbers when Moses was commanded to take a census of the Israelites. The Almighty God wants these attributes of his nature be repeated. Why God does not want men and women then or now to have an imbalanced, false concept of him. And even in Deuteronomy, when the commandment, when the law was given the second time. Why second time, Brother Mitchell? Because the first generation to whom the law was given, they died out in the wilderness. That's right. God killed them all. So this young generation now that we find in Deuteronomy, Moses had to repeat the old law system, the Ten Commandments to them, and God again going to repeat the same thing. It is as if God, while setting forth his attribute of mercy, grace, etc., he will not have his attribute of justice forgotten. Why? Because God does not want humanity to have a false, one-sided concept of him. You know what can change God? The prayer of a godly man or woman. Because I'd planned to have a lesson on this whereby when God make a declaration and when one of his faithful servants comes to him in prayer, or rather came to him in prayer, the Almighty God withdraw his wrath and vexation that he had planned to dish out against the rebellious. But as I close, I repeat, be careful that you do not have a one-sided concept of God. And help men and women to understand that in passage like Exodus chapter 20, passage like Exodus chapter 34, passage like Numbers chapter 14, passage like Deuteronomy chapter 5. All of these passages are passages where the Almighty God would tell of his mercy, his grace, his compassion, his forgiveness, but he never leave men to walk away with just those positive about him. He usually always give them that there is a negative side to God. We must make sure that we are aware of that. Over the years, I tell men and women that hell stands for the justice of God. Hell stands for the holiness of God. Meaning, if God is a holy God, sin must be punished. So either we take our sin to Jesus Christ now, while we are alive and in health, that we can go to God for forgiveness through repentance, or those sin will be punished in the eternal hell. The Almighty God has no other provision, because that provision where sin must be punished is in complete keeping with the holiness of God. If you are here today, you acknowledge that you are not a child of God. You have never become a Christian the Bible's way. Wait. Yes, you might have joined a church. You might have been a member of some church that they take out from the Bible what they want and they reject what they want. At the Church of Christ, we strive to give you the well-rounded God. Yes, God is merciful, gracious, loving, kind, with ready and quick to forgive. But do you know what? God has terms and condition upon which he will forgive you. So in you wanting to respond to Jesus Christ, remember, we are here to tell you what Christ's conditions are. What are the things that the Almighty God asks for you to do for him to graciously grant you forgiveness? We are going to stand now to sing a song to God's glory and honor.